By the grace of God, we hope to conclude on Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 today, as we look at the implication or implications and application of Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. The implications and application of Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. So let's read Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. It says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Excuse me. For us to fully understand the implications or implication and its application to our own lives, we need to look at it in context. So let's go back to Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. Read from verse 1 and we'll read it right through to verse 9. And then we'll be able to see what God is actually saying here to Joshua. The implication of this particular verse to Joshua and then how it applies to you and I. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, Moses' assistant, saying, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise. Go over this Jordan, you and all these people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and in the great sea, and to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." May the Lord bless the reading of his word in Jesus' name. God was charging Joshua, the new leader of Israel. Moses had died. They probably had mourned him for some time. And it was time to move on. And God now came to encourage Joshua by giving him a charge and saying to him, "Joshua, Moses has died on this side. You are not going to remain on this side. It's time to move into the new land, the land of promise that I had given way back to your father, your ancestor Abraham. It's now time to move in there. I want you to take all the people in there. You will go in there. The land, the territory I'm giving to you, this is the boundary, and so on and so forth. Go in there. Be strong. Be courageous. Because you are going to give them, that you will possess that land. I have made an assurance. I've promised you that every land on which you tread the sole of your feet, I have given it to you. Once you cross in, as you are marching on the land, stepping on the land belongs to you. But you must go in. I want you to be courageous. I want you to be strong. Be strong in the power of God. Be strong in the might of the Lord. Be courageous in faith." Brethren, faith requires courage. You cannot have faith if you are not courageous. Because many of the things that we do by faith requires courage. It may seem very foolish at first, but it is courage that keeps you going on in faith. It may be, people may laugh at you when you are living the life of faith, but you stand firm in faith, that it takes courage to do that. Not many people can do that. And then he was telling Joshua, "I want you to be strong, not in your strength, be strong in my strength, be strong in me. I have told you already, you will take the people in." Then he now tells him in verse 7, when he says, "Only be strong and very courageous," he says that you may observe to do according to all that Moses has written in the law. Don't turn from the right. Don't turn to the left from it. Remain in it so that you may prosper wherever you go. And then we get to verse 8, where he now says to him, "This book of the law," says Joshua, "I've given you an assignment. Take, this is what will help you on this assignment. This book that Moses has written. Everything that is inside, make sure it is inside. It is what you should be speaking, this word. Whatever is inside this book is what you should be speaking. Meditate in it, day and night." I thought Joshua is going to lead the people into a land. He's going to fight some battles. What do you think Joshua should be given? What do you think he should be given? He should be given armor, he should be given spears, he should be given sword, he should be taught military tactics. But no, God says, "This is what I'm giving to you. This book of the law. Take it, read it. Store it in your heart. Meditate in it day and night. Make sure that your heart is devoid of worldliness, of the ways of the world. Because my way
is not like your way. If you don't devoid your heart of the ways of the world, the ways of doing things, you will miss the point. God was saying to Joshua, and I'm the one making this up now. Remember that when you fought against Amalek, you went to fight Amalek when Moses was on the mountain. Do you know how you got that victory? You got that victory only because Moses' hands were up. Every time Moses' hand went down, that was when they were defeating you. Every time Moses' hand went up, as I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. Moses did not need your spear and your sword to defeat Amalek. It was me who needed it, and it was successful. This book of the law, I'm asking you now, take it. Meditate in it day and night. Let it be your waking up. Let it be your going to bed. Let it be your companion throughout the day. Make sure you observe to do, to perform everything that has been written there according to the pattern prescribed. Don't try to do it according to the way of the world. Because if you do it according to the pattern that I prescribed, for then you will make your way successful. You will achieve this assignment. You will fulfill this assignment that I've given to you. And then you'll be able to act wisely. When you look at the life of Joshua, when you look at the story of Joshua, we don't have time to go into that. When Joshua was going to fight against, when Joshua, after the people had crossed, in fact, there was a statement that Joshua made when they were crossing. He said to them, he said, make sure that when you are going to be crossing, you keep a distance. Look at the priests as the priests. I said, when you see the priests carrying the ark, as they carry the ark and move with them. But make sure that there's a distance of about a mile between you and the priest carrying the ark, because you have never been this way before. Let the ark direct you. What was the ark signifying, representative of? The presence of God. Let God be your guide. Don't rush ahead of God. Don't be too quick. Stay. Watch where God is going and follow him. That's what he was saying. Then they got in the land. When you read the book of Joshua, you'll see some of the things I'm saying. And then Joshua sent spies. It was the usual thing. Send spies first. Let them spy the land. When I read the story, I wonder what the value of the spying was. Because they didn't need any information that the spies went there. I believe God just wanted to save Rahab. That was why the spies went there. Otherwise, they didn't need the information the spies brought. It was not used in the battle. And then Joshua began to walk. Because I'm sure they must have told him, Jericho is straightly shut. The people are afraid of us. Everybody is shut. The whole place is shut down. And Joshua is walking there and meditating. How do we deal with this battle? And then he sees the man standing ahead of him. And challenges him. Are you a friend or are you a foe? He said, I'm not a friend. I'm not a foe. I come as a captain of the host of the Lord. Instantly he reverences him and says, please, what are your instructions? And what was the instruction? It was a simple instruction. Take the people, walk around the wall of Jericho once a day. Nobody should talk during that walk. Every day you do that for 6 days. On the seventh day, walk around the wall 7 times. At the seventh time, get the priests who are blowing the trumpets to be ready. You give them the signal. As they blow the trumpets, let the people shout. After the people have shouted, the walls will cave in. Move in and completely destroy it. Go quickly to the house of Rahab. Anybody you find inside that house, protect them. But every other person outside of that house, kill them, because you have made a promise to Rahab to protect her and all those in the house. And Jericho was defeated. It wasn't military strategy that defeated Jericho. What was it that defeated Jericho? The word of God. The instruction of God. Then they left Jericho with great victory and they went to fight Ai. And Joshua got into the flesh. Again, they sent spies. He forgot that it wasn't the spying that helped them. It was God. Again, they sent, and the spies came back and said, Ai is a much smaller city. Let not all the men go. He's now taking counsel from men, not from God. And they sent a few people and they went to fight Ai and they were defeated. In fact, I think they killed 36 of them. Joshua went into the house of God, went into the tabernacle and lay down flat. From morning, Lord, what has happened? Israel will be, or everybody will gang up and defeat us. If little Ai has defeated us, then the other nations will be strong to come and attack us. What has happened? But it has happened until towards sundown. God said to him, get up. Are you doing on the ground? Get up. There is sin in the camp. Do you know that if Joshua had gone to God to say, Lord, thank you for the victory over Jericho, I'm told that Ai is a smaller nation, but we're not going to take it for granted. How do we deal with AI? God would have said, before you go near AI, you need to deal with the problem. But get up, there's sin in the camp. Tell all the men. You said that God was not focusing on the victory, on the defeat of AI. What was he focusing on? What was happening inside the camp? He said, leave AI alone. Let's deal with the problem in the camp. Tell the men to sanctify themselves, because tomorrow I'm coming to see them, coming to meet with them. Then said, you will call them family by family. The family that I tell you to choose is the family that you choose. And they began. They chose the tribe of Judah, chose this family, chose until they came to the family where Achan belonged. Achan still was there until they finally pinpointed Achan. So I said, come, my son. Give glory to God. Tell us, what's the problem? And then Achan began to confess. I saw a Babylonian garment. I saw some silver, which the Lord had said you should completely destroy. But you know, I coveted it and hid it. And though it's in my tent. He said, is it your tent? Hidden? He said, yes.
Let's go and dig out the evidence. So they went and dug up and saw that indeed it was in the tent, hidden in the ground. They grabbed Achan, the tent, the Babylonish garment, the silver, his children, his wife, his everything that he had, put them in one corner and stoned them to death and burned them. That was the demise of Achan. And then God now said, now, this is a strategy for here. Divide yourselves into three. All of you are going to battle. Divide yourselves into three groups. One group will go on a frontal attack, while the other two will stay in the wings. When the people of Ai come out as before, you will run. Run away from them. They will pursue you. Just run. They will keep pursuing. Then let the people in the flanks come into Ai and set Ai on fire. When they saw Ai on fire, the people who were pursuing were now caught between the people who were burning Ai and the people who were running. The people who were running suddenly stood and fought against Ai. And Ai was completely destroyed. What was it that gave Joshua success? The instruction of God. It wasn't military strategy. It wasn't military prowess. Joshua was never trained to be a military man, even in Egypt. It was just a regular slave whom God had called. And it was based on divine instruction that he succeeded. This book of the law is a book of divine instructions on the way to go. It's more than just a book of, it's more than just an ordinary book that is telling you to go ahead and do this, go ahead and do that. No, it's a living book. It's very much effective any day you pick the book. In 1 Kings chapter 2, David, a man who recognized the value of the word of God, was given a charge to his son Solomon before he departed this world. 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 1 to 4 or 3. It is the same thing that God told Joshua, that David told his son Solomon. Now, the days of David drew near that he should die, and he charged Solomon, his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore, and prove yourself a man. And keep the charge of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, and his testimonies. Remember when we're looking at the word of God, this book of the law, we use several things to define it. Do you remember that? We use the word testimonies, judgments, law, precepts, and so on and so forth. It's the same thing here. As it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn. That the Lord may fulfill his word which he spoke concerning me, saying, if your sons take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, he said, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. When David was leaving Solomon, it was the same thing he was giving. That was the inheritance. That was the best thing he could give to Solomon. Take. This is the word of God. This was what helped. This is what will help you. Any leader. You are maybe a leader of the choir. A businessman in the office. A head of department in your place of work. You are a business. What do you call it now? Whatever transactions you are doing. You are a husband. You are a wife. With children. This book of the law is watching. You don't need any of that. This book of the law is watching. Today, go to the Western nations where they don't allow you to kill a child anymore. See the kind of children they're producing. And sadly, I see Nigerians, you know, we like to copy things. I see Nigerian Christians copying it. So we talk rubbish on Twitter like they are talking rubbish. They are talking rubbish because they were not trained. Then you that you have been trained, you want to copy the people who have not been trained. You, a believer who has the word of God, you want to copy the people who don't have the word of God, and you want to prosper. How can you prosper? The Bible says, do not spare the rod. But they said, no, we don't want our children to be king. Look at them now. No respect for parents. A child will come out, will plan the death of his parents. He's living in the same house with his parents, and will ask friends, give them the key to the house. They will enter the house and go and kill his parents, and he'll be there crying because he wants to inherit the labor of his parents, because society says they shouldn't discipline them. And the parents said, we won't discipline them because society says we shouldn't discipline them. The fellows who killed a British soldier, when after killing British soldier, they said he's a Nigerian. I said, no. Nigeria said, no, he's not a Nigerian. He was not even born in Nigeria. He was born there. He's British. You people trained him. The one who went to go and bomb, who wanted to blow a plane in America. He was of Nigerian birth, but never schooled in Nigeria. He went to Republic of Togo to school. Then they sent him to the UK to school. Then he went to, what's it called, Yemen, before going to America. How is he a Nigerian? The Western nation, they've turned their whole life upside down because they refuse to follow the word of God. I am told that in the building of the CIA, the inscription there is John chapter 8, verse 32. The truth shall make you, shall set you free. You shall know the truth and shall make you free. Right now in America, they are trying to remove everything that is God from all the establishments they had. They used to put the Ten Commandments in the Supreme Court And in the courthouses, they've said, no, it is illegal. It is trumping up one religion over another. They should remove it. Very soon, there will be injustice. And they'll be shouting, why is there injustice? Because you removed the word of God. We see it in our generation, but we don't believe it. That's why we're behaving the way we're behaving. It was a charge that David gave to Solomon. Let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 17 before we discuss the matter of Solomon. Deuteronomy chapter 17. And see what God said. Even before Israel had kings, God had known that they were going to ask for kings. And he had put in place, in that same word, what they had to do. Deuteronomy chapter 17, from verse 14 to 20. Deuteronomy 17, 14 to 20. When you come to the land which the Lord your God is giving you, and possess it, and dwell in it, and say, I will set a king over me like all the nations that are around me, you shall surely set a king over you, whom the Lord your God chooses. One from among your brethren you shall set as king over you. You shall not set a foreigner over you who is not your brother. But he shall not multiply horses for himself. Is that in your Bible? Is that in your Bible? Nor cause the people to return to Egypt to multiply horses. Is that in your Bible? When you are hearing prosperity message, look at, listen to this. This is the word of God. For the Lord has said to you, you shall not return that way again. Neither shall he multiply wives for himself, lest his heart turn away. Nor shall he greatly multiply silver and gold for himself. That's the word of God. This is what David was saying to Solomon. Go and read this. Go and follow this. It's Old Testament, but it's the word of God. Verse 18. Also, it shall be, when he sits on the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write for himself a copy of this law in a book. The role of the king was to write, transcribe the Bible. Can you imagine if God says to you, you're going to be a pastor. You see this Bible? I want you to rewrite it. Would you have time for any other? All you will sit down doing is to write the Bible from morning till night. That's all you're doing, writing it. Copy of this law in a book from the one before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life. Every day he must read it. Do you remember what God said? Meditate on it day and night. That he may learn to fear the Lord his God. And be careful, the same language, to observe all the words of this law and these statutes. That his heart may not be lifted above his brethren. God never intended for a king to see himself higher than any other person. He was just a leader like that. It was never God's intention. That he may not turn aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left. That he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. Now, in the light of all of this, let us see what it was. That Solomon did. The charge that God had given generally, the one that his father had given, the one that God had given to kings specifically. Let's see what Solomon did. Let's look at Solomon's epithet, as it were. From 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 11. We'll read it right through, jump into chapter 11, and we'll stop. We'll just continue to see what happened to Solomon and, you know, how he ruled and everything. Also, the ships of Hiram, which brought gold from Ophir, brought great quantities of almug wood and precious stones from Ophir. And the king made steps of the almug wood for the house of the Lord and for the king's house. Also harps and stringed instruments for singers. There never again came such almug wood, nor has the like been seen to this day. Now King Solomon gave the queen of Sheba all she desired, whatever she asked, besides what Solomon had given her, according to the royal generosity. For she turned and went to her own country, and she and her servants. The weight of gold that came to Solomon yearly was 666 talents of gold. I don't know the conversion rate, but that is a lot of gold. Besides that, from the traveling merchants, from the income of traders, from all the kings of Arabia, and from the governors of the country. Solomon was actually taxing people. He was collecting taxes. That's why when he died, the people of Israel went to his son and said, relieve us of this burden that your father gave to us. He was just taxing us. It was money from the people, but he was collecting it. You see, the Bible is very honest. We can be emotional. The Bible is not emotional. The Bible tells things as it is. Verse 16. And King Solomon made 200 large shields of hammered gold. 600 shields of gold went into each shield. He also made 3,000 shields of hammered gold. 3 miners of gold went into each shield. The king put them in the house of the forest of Lebanon. What was he gathering all these things for? To keep in a house. They're not of not any use. Eventually, when King Nebuchadnezzar came, what did he do? Those are the things he took away. It wasn't adding value to anybody. Just keeping it in the bank account. Amassing it in one place. It didn't add value to anybody. Moreover, the king made a great throne of ivory and overlaid it with pure gold. The throne had 6 steps, and the top of the throne was round at the back. There were armrests on either side of the place of the seat, and 2 lions stood beside the armrest. These are things that we like. But that's what God will say, that I didn't ask him to. This is the Bible telling you what Solomon did. God didn't say that he approved of what he was doing. He was just saying this is what he did. He built a throne for himself. Lived luxuriously. 12 lions stood there, 1 on each side of the 6 steps. Nothing like this had been made for any other kingdom. All King Solomon's drinking vessels were gold. All the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were pure gold. Not one was silver, for this was accounted as nothing in the days of Solomon. Nobody reckoned with silver. Maybe silver belonged to the common people. For him, it had to be gold or pure gold. For the king had merchant ships at sea with the fleet of Hiram. Once every 3 years, the merchant ships came bringing gold, silver, ivory, apes, and monkeys. So King Solomon surpassed all the kings of the earth in riches and wisdom. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and yet loses his soul? Now all the earth saw the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom which God had put in his heart. Each man brought his present, articles of silver and gold, garments, armor, spices, horses and mules at a set rate year by year. He now has a charge for coming to sit down to hear his wisdom. You know, that's what many of us do now. Now there's a rate to pay to come into an auditorium to hear us speak. And Solomon gathered chariots and horsemen. Is that not what God said they shouldn't gather? He had 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horsemen, whom he stationed in the chariot cities and with the king at Jerusalem. The king made silver as common in Jerusalem as stones, and he made cedar trees as abundant as the sycamores which are in the lowland. Also, Solomon had horses imported from where? Do you remember what the Bible says in Deuteronomy 17? They were not to go back to Egypt to take horses or anything, that he went back. We have gone back to the world to take ideas of the world to use in the house of God. That's what Solomon did. This is the word of God. We're not speaking any new language. We're just speaking exactly what the Lord was saying. In verse 28, also Solomon had horses imported from Egypt and Kever. The king's merchants bought them in Kever at the current price. Now, a chariot that was imported from Egypt cost 600 shekels of silver, and a horse 150. And thus, through their agents, they exported them to all the kings of the Hittites and the kings of Syria. Solomon was now in the business of purchase of, these are like buying aircrafts today, buying cars, buying SUVs, building palaces. That's what pastors have begun to do. That's what Christians in position of authority are doing. We build one house in London, build one house in Jerusalem, build another one in America, build another one. We are building houses all over the place. I can understand one or two places where your business takes you to. Even the British people who you see the top executives riding in a Rolls Royce, they don't buy the Rolls Royce with their money. It's the company that owns the Rolls Royce. Because they know they can't buy and maintain that car. But here is the man who will buy it. Even if the company is buying it, the company is doing everything, he owns it. Chapter 11. But King Solomon loved many foreign women, as well as the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians and Hittites. These people that God said don't marry. From the nations of whom the Lord had said to the children of Israel, you shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you. Surely they will turn away your hearts after their gods. Solomon clung to these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. And his wives turned away his heart. Actually, his heart had been turned away long ago. These ones merely did it firmly. For it was so, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. For Solomon went after Ashereth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and did not fully follow the Lord as did his father David. Then Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, on the hill that is east of Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the people of Ammon. Molech is the god that they used to burn their children, to burn the child in fire to Molech. And he did likewise for all his foreign wives who burned incense and sacrificed to their gods. Do you know how many shrines there were in Israel? 1,000, not counting the other ones, because he had married 1,000 wives. So each one, he would build a shrine so that they can worship their God. Each one so that they can worship their God. He had built shrines all over Israel. Solomon was the chief of idolaters. But when we talk of Solomon today, we speak of him as though he was a great fellow before God. He wasn't. Not an example to follow. Not in the least. That's why the Lord said, the grasses that you see growing on the road, they were better dressed than Solomon. For all this gold that Solomon had, God said the grasses that he dresses are better than what Solomon was putting on. Because Solomon never met God's approval. He met men's applause, but never God's approval. Am I not reading the Bible? Verse 7. Then Solomon built, verse 9. So the Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned from the Lord God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice. Solomon actually had two divine encounters. Remember the first time when he gave 1,000 burnt offerings and God came and said to him, ask what you want. What did Solomon say? Give me wisdom. And God gave it to him. The second time at the dedication of the temple, when Solomon said, if your people would, if they sin against you and come to you, please hear. If they face this house, wherever they are, and they face this temple, please hear. And God said, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and look upon, I will hear their prayers and I will heal their land. That was the two times that God had met. And yet, that same Solomon went and acquired things, worked contrary to the counsel of God, and had commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods, but he did not keep what the Lord had commanded. Therefore, the Lord said to Solomon, because you have done this and have not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded you, I will surely tear the kingdom away from you and give it to your servant. Do you see the origin of the division of Israel into two kingdoms? It was Solomon that caused it. It wasn't even Rehoboam's foolishness. It was Solomon's idolatry that made God say, I'm going to divide this kingdom. Nevertheless, I will not do it in your days for the sake of your father David. I will tear it out of the hand of your son. Have you seen it there? However, I will not tear away the whole kingdom. I will give one tribe to you, to your son, for the sake of my servant David, and for the sake of Jerusalem, which I have chosen. Now, the Lord raised up an adversary against Solomon, Hadad the Edomite. He was a descendant of the king of Edom. For it happened when David was in Edom, and Joab, the commander of the army, had gone up to bury the slain after he had killed them. There are some things that the Edomites did, and, David dealt with them, turned them into vassals. Now, the Bible says that God raised those people back as enemies. The people that had been conquered now became enemies again, adversaries against Solomon. Have you seen how when people turn away from God, the things that God had given them victory over suddenly rise up again and they start dealing with those problems all over again because they refuse to follow the word of God. Verse 23, let's skip to verse 23. And God raised up another adversary against him, Rezon, son of Eleada, who had fled from his lord, Hadadazar, king of Zobah. So he gathered men to him and became captain over a band of raiders when David killed those of Zobah, and they went to Damascus and dwelt there and reigned in Damascus. He was an adversary of Israel all the days of Solomon, besides the trouble that he had caused, because probably that Hadad caused, and he abhorred Israel and reigned over Syria. Suddenly, Solomon, you see, when we talk about the prosperity of Solomon, we never speak about the wars that he had. Remember when we were defining prosperity, what did we define prosperity as? We said there was peace. Prosperity, part of prosperity is peace. But here, Solomon is battling with wars on every side. Then Solomon's servant, Jeroboam, son of Nebat, of the Ephraimite, from Zerada, whose mother's name was Zeruah, a widow, also rebelled against the king. And this is what caused him to rebel against the king. Solomon had built the Milo and repaired the damages to the city of David, his father. The man, Jeroboam, was a mighty man of valor. And Solomon, seeing that the young man was industrious, made him the officer over all the labor force of the house of Joseph. Now it happened at that time, when Jeroboam went out of Jerusalem, that the prophet Ahijah the Shilonite met him on the way, and he had clothed himself with a new garment, and the two were alone in the field. And Ahijah took hold of the new garment that was on him, and tore it into 12 pieces. And he said to Jeroboam, take for yourselves 10 pieces. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, behold, I will tear the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon, and will give 10 tribes to you, that he shall have one tribe, but he shall have one tribe for the sake of my servant David, and for the sake of Jerusalem, the city, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel. Because they have forsaken me and worshipped Ashereth, the goddess of the Sidonians, Chemosh, the god of the Moabites, and Milcom, the god of the people of Ammon, and have not walked in my ways to do what is right in my eyes, and keep my statutes and my judgment, as did his father David. However, I will not take the whole kingdom out of his hands, because I have made him ruler all the days of his life, for the sake of my servant David, whom I chose, because he kept my commandments and my statutes. But I will take the kingdom out of his son's hand and give it to you, 10 tribes, and to his son I will give one tribe, that my servant David may always have a lamp before me in Jerusalem, the city of which I have chosen for myself, to put my name there. So I will take you, and you shall reign over all your heart's desires, and you shall be king over Israel. Then it shall be, if you heed all that I command you, walk in my ways, and do what is right in my sight, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as my servant David did, then I will be with you, and build for you an enduring house, as I built for David, and will give Israel to you. And I will afflict the descendants of David because of this, but not forever. Solomon therefore sought to kill Jeroboam. But Jeroboam arose and fled to Egypt, to Shishak, king of Egypt, and was in Egypt until the death of Solomon. Now, the rest of the acts of Solomon, all that he did, and his wisdom, are they not written in the book of the acts of Solomon? And the period that Solomon reigned in Jerusalem over all Israel was 40 years. Then Solomon rested with his fathers, and was buried in the city of David his father. And Rehoboam his son reigned in his place. That is Solomon. For all the wisdom that he had, for all the money that he had, we discover that he didn't work. But we believe that in his later years, he repented. Why? Because of Ecclesiastes. It's in Ecclesiastes that you now begin to read. Vanity of vanities. All is... He said this, that is empty. There's nothing in this thing. Only when he got old did he realize that. And he had ruined generations of his own lineage because of his selfishness, because of his inordinate desire for the things that God said, don't do. Because he refused to walk in the ways of God. Remember what God told Joshua. So when you follow this book, not only will you succeed in the way that you are going, not only will you succeed in the assignment I've given to you, but you will be able to act wisely. You will act with prudence. You will act with discretion. For all the wisdom that Solomon had, he refused to follow the word of God. And he ended up a victim of the words of wisdom he himself had written before. Let's be careful. There are many preachers today who used to be on fire for God, who used to preach the word of God in spirit and in truth. But today, they are doing something else. They have become like Solomon, amassing things that God never asked them to amass, having a desire for things that they have no business having a desire. And they don't know, or maybe they even know. But you see, like Saul, they won't come and say, this is what God is saying. They say, let's just continue to worship God. Let's just continue to worship, because it will not happen in their time. It will happen after their time. So they don't mind. That's the wickedness of man. Let's be careful. And because it's not going to happen in their time, they continue that way. And many people continue to follow that. This book of the law shall not depart from out of that. Let me tell you something. When God chooses a leader, this is what he tells you. See this book of the law. Take it. Go and read it. Read it. Chew it. Study it. Store it. Let it be in you. Everything that you do, do it according to this. Don't turn from to the right or to left away from this book. Do it according to this. The day God gives you employment in a place, he will give you this book. See this book of the law. It shall not depart from out of thy mouth. Read it. Study it. You say, but Lord, I'm an accountant. How has the book of the law got to do with accountants? Read it. He said, but Lord, I'm a general. Read it. I'm a petroleum engineer. Read it. This has nothing to do with skill. This is simply following the word of God. Follow everything that is written in here. Brethren, I want to let you understand one thing today. There can be no success, no true prosperity, without the word of God being in your heart and being observed and performed accordingly. Let that one burn deep in your spirit. You are not successful if what you did is contrary to the word of God.
You are actually a failure before God.
Men may applaud you,
but God disapproves of you.
If you set up a church and you run that church according to the standards of men, men may applaud you.
They may say you have a big church.
They may say, oh, people in your church are rich. They may say, oh, you are preaching a message of prosperity. This is a wonder. This is the message that we need to deliver God's people from poverty.
They may applaud you, but God disapproves of you because it is not according to the word of God.
God has said, we are not to multiply wealth,
not to multiply horses, not to multiply money, not to multiply silver or
gold. It's there in the Bible.
But when we want to do something wrong, we say it's the Old Testament. Let's leave it out.
Some things are not repeated in the new because they don't need repetition. It is already in the old.
Fruit is the result of a plant that has been nurtured and groomed from the seed that was sown.
When you see a fruit,
that fruit came because a seed was planted.
The seed was watered, was groomed.
That plant that grew, they groomed it, they nurtured it until it brought out the fruit.
In the same way, prosperous ways and good success,
they are the fruit, the result of doing the word of God, which is born out of ardent meditation on the word of God day and night, which has been studied or filled the heart of a man.
The word of God is the seed which God plants in our hearts, which if we nurture and we groom in faith, will produce the fruit of prosperity and wisdom.
It's not your hard work.
That doesn't mean you shouldn't work hard,
but it is the word of God.
The Bible says the sleep of a laboring man is sweet.
God does not say you shouldn't labor,
but according to his word.
The man who wants to do business, by the time you read this Bible, you will see the ethics of doing business.
Let me just show you one. Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11. You know, we quote it when we want to collect offering. But we don't see what God is saying there. Proverbs chapter 11. Let me read it to you. From verse 24 to verse 26. There is one who scatters, yet increases. And there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty.
What is actually being said there?
God is saying there is a man who maybe has a farm or has a business and gives out, scatters, allows people to come and be partakers with him. So that man increases. And there's somebody who hoards. To hold is to hoard. Who hoards? And he turns into poverty. Verse 25. The generous soul will be made rich, but he who waters and he who waters will also be watered himself. You know, we'll quote this for collecting offering. Verse 26. The people will curse him who withholds grain, but blessing will be on the head of him who sells it.
Do you see many people who hoard petrol in our generation? Look at them. Not they can never make progress in their lives.
The curse that is upon them is be careful.
As you follow the word of God, correctly interpreted, you will act with wisdom.
You will prosper in the way that God wants you to go. When you read Matthew chapter 13, from 18 to 23, where the Lord Jesus said, the word is the seed, the soil is the heart of man.
If your heart is not right, the seed that is sown there will not produce the kind of fruit. But if your heart is right, the seed that is sown there,
with patience, will bear fruit.
Some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold.
When the Lord Jesus was going, he did certain things. Now we want to look at how these things apply to you and I.
We have talked about Joshua, we've talked about Solomon, we've talked about people generally. Let's talk about you and I.
When the Lord was leaving, he did certain things. John chapter 15. From verse 1 to 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you.
You are already clean because of the word which has been given to you.
Let's continue to read. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches.
You are not a vine, you are just a branch.
If you abide in the vine of God, that is in Christ Jesus,
you will bring forth fruit.
But when you abide outside of the vine, which is outside of the word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ is the word of God. When you abide outside of the word of God, you wither.
You can't bear any good fruit.
If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you hear, you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. What is it that glorifies God? You're bearing much fruit. What fruit are we talking about? Some people think that when God talks about fruit, he's talking of external fruit. He's talking of internal fruit. The fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, meekness, faithfulness, gentleness, goodness. What's the last one? Self-control. Fruit of the Spirit. You can see it. Internal fruit. It's not the fact that, we are 1,000. 1,000 sinners in the place. What does that mean to anybody? 1,000 adulterers, 1,000 fornicators. What does that mean to anybody? 1,000 extortioners, 1,000 revilers. People who are abusing and insulting people. Left right. What does that mean to anybody? When the fruit of the Spirit is not in you. You think God is interested in that kind of fruit? That's not what God is talking about. He told them, abide in the Word. Soak yourself in the Word. I am leaving you with the Word. If you abide in me and my Word abides, dwells richly in you, you will ask. Do you know something? That when the Word of God is in you and you are meditating on the Word of God, and you and the Word of God are now in a union, everything you say is what? The Word of God. I ask you a question. Can you ask amiss? Can you ask contrary to the Word? That you can't. And that is why every prayer is answered, because you are asking according to the will of God. In John chapter 20, verse 22. John 20, 22. And when he, that is Jesus, had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. He's sending them somewhere. He's sending them somewhere. As I was sent, so I'm sending you. Receive the Holy Spirit. He had given them his word. Now he's now baptizing them, as it were, with the Holy Spirit. Say, receive the Holy Spirit. That's all he gave them. And do you know that these people went and performed great wonders? Look at John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Speaking about the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer. From 15 to 18, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. The world can never receive the Holy Spirit. But those who say they love God, you cannot love God and not keep his commandments. If you are not keeping the command of God, it means you don't love God. That's what he's saying. Neither does the world see the Holy Spirit, nor know him. But you know him, for he dwells with you. And at that time, it was speaking of something in the future. Now we know it is here. So, and is in you. And we know what he said the Holy Spirit will do. When he comes, he will teach you all truth. He will lead you into all truth. He will bring you into remembrance of all things. He will speak about you about the future. He will speak to you about me. He will glorify me. He will not speak of himself. These disciples, they took the word. They took the Holy Spirit. That was all they had. They went out. They prospered. They acted wisely. They were not applauded by men, but they were approved of God. Now, because of what they did, many of us can still talk about the church of God. Even though, you know, Peter was crucified, the death of Peter was not the yardstick of his prosperity. The yardstick of his prosperity was that he did what God wanted him to do. And in any case, he died as the Lord Jesus had said, he will die. And the Lord Jesus did not say, that's how you will die. He said, that's how you will glorify me. So we don't look at the death and say, oh, this was how he died. So that means he failed. He wasn't a failure. It was a success. Till today, we are reading the letters of Peter. Paul was beheaded. The beheading of Paul was in line with the will of God. Many people can find it very strange to believe that, but that was in line with the will of God. And Paul served the Lord diligently throughout his life, from the time he met with the Lord Jesus. Today we have almost half of the New Testament written by him, and we still read it, and we are still blessed by it. If you go to John chapter 15, verse 16, the Lord just said, you did not choose me, but I chose you to go forth and do what? And bring forth much fruit, that your fruit may abide. That is abiding fruit. After you have died and gone, what fruit are you leaving behind? That's what we are calling fruit. Not just the nature of God in you, but the work of God that will be a blessing to generations yet one more. And you know the key is book of the law. It's nothing else. Bible school doesn't give it to you. It's good to go to Bible school, by the way. Don't get me wrong. It's good to sit down under somebody and be taught. It's good. But nothing can take the place of personal Bible study. Nothing can take the place of personal Bible study. Every other thing is secondary when you compare it with personal Bible study. Anybody who goes to listen to a sermon and picks a sermon and comes to repreach it somewhere else, He's wasting his time. That's why I'm going to encourage you, and I'm continuing to encourage you today. Make sure that personal Bible study is never wanting in your life. No matter how busy you are, no matter how tight your schedule is, you must have time for your own private personal Bible study. Now I want to show you something. A combination. Because when the Lord was leaving, he didn't make a mistake. In the case of Joshua,
The Holy Spirit was not as manifest as it is today. So Joshua just had only the word. We have both the word and the spirit.
Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Let's pause there. In the beginning, after God had created the heavens and the earth, we know what had happened. Satan had rebelled. This must have been millions of years ago. And there were problems on the earth. So when the scientists say they're discovering dinosaurs that are millions of years old, they may be right in terms of their calculations. Because the world had been around for years. Millions of years. And then as a result of Satan's rebellion, there were problems. The dinosaurs that used to be in cordial relationship with one another began to kill themselves. And so there was death all over the place. There was darkness. There was chaos. There was emptiness. There was a flooding of the whole world. But there was a good news there. The Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Now go to verse 3. Then God said, let there be light. And what happened? There was. All the Spirit of God was waiting for was for the word to be spoken. The Spirit of God is the power that translates the word of God into reality. When the Spirit of God is in your life, that's why a man who does not have the Spirit of God, who is preaching, is just preaching an empty word. He's saying something, but there's no power to effect it in the lives of the hearers. But when the Spirit of God is present in your life, and you speak a word, the power to back it up is there. Which is why things, you see, that power is not released anyhow. You have not learned to control, you have not learned to put your mouth under control of the Holy Spirit. They will give you that power. You can kill people. You just look at somebody, I curse you. The way pastors behave these days, that they curse anybody. If they had that power, many people would have died. It's because they don't have, that's why the curse does not take effect. You need a combination of the word and the Holy Spirit to be effective as a believer in any sphere of life. The Spirit without the word will give you chaos. You will still have the problem will still be there. The Spirit is there, but the Spirit is waiting for the word to solve the problem. The Spirit is there, but there's no word, the problem remains. Then bring the word of God into that situation while the Spirit is there. Bam, everything begins take shape as it should take. Then look at the other scenario. You have the word, but no spirit. You can talk from morning till night. The problem is you need it to go in hand. The Spirit of God and the word of God. And I tell you the truth. This book of the law, this is the word of God. This is the word of God. We have discussed this several times. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 1 to 3, in the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word was God. The word of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember when we were discussing these things at the very, very beginning. We said, one, the global theme of the Bible is what? Jesus Christ. The same was with God in the beginning. There was not anything made that was made without Him. You cannot start any venture without the Word and succeed. All those ventures that you have started outside of the Word of God, they can never succeed. Go and crush them. And go and ask God, Lord, what do I do now? That's the truth. I think it was it on Tuesday that we, when we were looking at spiritual warfare, and said, by wise counsel, make war. Go and seek counsel from God. What should I do? In the beginning was the Word. Any beginning without the Word. That is why we talk about being born again when the Word of God comes into our lives. When Jesus comes into our life. That's when we say, you are now born again. The old is forgotten. Behold, all things have become, you are starting afresh now. You are still as old as you are, but it's a new life that you have entered in. In Him was life. It is in the Word that you have life. Outside of the Word is death. And that light is the light of men. And the light shines in darkness. And darkness can never comprehend it. When the word of God begins to operate in your life, begins to operate in your circumstances, every iota of darkness must recede. This is the reason why I keep telling when they say, oh, you need deliverance. After you are born again, you have the word of God. What deliverance? The only deliverance you need is deliverance from ignorance, which comes from studying the word of God. The only fear that you need is the fear of God. You don't need the fear of any other. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20 to 26. Proverbs 6, 20 to 26. My son, keep your father's command. The father's command here is God's word. And do not forsake the law of your mother. We can look at this as the interpretation that a pastor is giving to the word of God. I mean the correct interpretation now. Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck. That is what it means. It must be going with you hand in hand. When you roam, that is when you are traveling, they will do what? They will lead you. The word will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. They will protect you in your sleep. That's the word. And when you awake,
What will happen?
They will speak with you.
That same word. Do you wake up and hear God speak to you? You should be able to wake up and hear the Lord say to you, let's go and have Bible study. Don't go, don't sign that paper that is brought to you when you get to the office. 5 papers will be brought to you. Sign the first 3. Don't sign the last 2.
You hear it.
That's how you make success. You don't succeed because you know it. How would you know the paper that is going to put you in trouble 5 years from now?
But the Holy Spirit has told you, sign the first 3, don't sign the next 2.
They say, sign now. I can't sign it. Give it to another person, I won't sign it. The day they are going to query, it is those 2 papers, the man who signed it, that will now come and say that. You just, they will say, ah. Let's say you, something they say, yes. The word spoke with me when I woke up, what to sign and what not to sign. You see, many times we are emotional, we are sentimental about things. The word of God is not. This man is dying. He's starving. The Holy Spirit said, don't give him any. It's not that the Holy Spirit hates. He's teaching him something. He's teaching him to depend on God. It's not that he cannot be helped. He can be helped. But God says, I don't want you to help him because I'm training him for something. I'm taking him somewhere. You are not his God. I am his God. And we do as the Lord says we should. Oh, we can be abused. We can be insulted. We take it up quietly because we know what God has told us. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let it dwell in your hearts by faith richly. Richly. See, Isaiah 59 verse 22, verse 21. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 21. As for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant with them. My spirit who is upon you and my words which I have put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your descendants, nor from the mouth of your descendants' descendants, says the Lord, from this time and forever. The same thing. But here God is now saying, my spirit. Because the spirit of God takes the word of God and manifests it, turns it into reality. The spoken word becomes manifested. In John chapter 8 verse 31. John chapter 8 verse 31. The Bible says that Jesus said to the Jews which believed, if you continue in my words, then are you my disciples indeed. In those days, followers of Jesus were known as disciples. It was in Acts chapter 11 verse 26 that they were called for the first time Christians. So, let's use the right appropriate word now. If you continue in my words, then are you a Christian? You're not a Christian because you go to church. You're a Christian because you are continuing. You know, to continue in the word of God is to keep doing the word of God. You're a Christian because you are doing the word of God. Does it mean that if I don't do the word of God, I won't have money? You can have money, but you're not going to prosper as far as God is concerned. If the word of God, if you continue in it, you are indeed a Christian. And then in verse 32 it says, and you shall know the truth. You cannot know the truth when you are not studying the truth. And then he goes on to say, and the truth shall make you free. You cannot be truly free when you don't know the truth which you have not studied. Your freedom is because, number one, you continued in the truth. Number two, you know it. That's why you are free. That's why nobody can come and tell you, oh, you need deliverance. Oh, you need this. Oh, you need that. Finally, 1 Timothy chapter 4. Well, not quite finally. One of the final things which are going to be looking at. We are going to be looking at 1 Timothy chapter 4, 14 to 16. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress, another word for prosperity, may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear. We're talking of salvation here. Continue in the word of God. You will save yourself. You will save those who are hearing you. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15. The Bible says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God. Don't be diligent to present yourself for the applause of men. A workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And then he goes on in verse 16, but shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. That's what is happening in many of our gatherings today. There's a lot of profanity, a lot of idle babbling, a lot of words that don't mean anything to anybody. Are you a husband? This book of the law shall not depart from out of thy mouth. Are you a mother? This book of the law shall not depart from out of thy mouth. Are you a student? Not your textbook, so this book of the law shall not depart from out of thy mouth. Are you a lawyer? Not the laws of the land,
this book of the law
shall not depart from out of thy mouth.
Are you a governor?
This book of the law shall not depart from out of thy mouth.
Are you a president? Not the constitution of the country.
This book of the law
shall not depart from out of thy mouth.
Whatever your profession, whatever your vocation,
wherever you find yourself,
this book of the law shall not depart from out of thy mouth.
But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then
you shall make your way prosperous.
You shall prosper in your assignment.
You shall prosper as a father.
You shall prosper as a wife.
You shall prosper as a husband.
You shall prosper as a mother.
You shall prosper as a businessman.
You shall prosper as a student.
You know, today in Nigeria, sorting is the order of the day.
This book of the law shall not depart from thy mouth.
Don't follow them to sort.
Let them sort. Let them give you pass.
The day they fail you, you know that you did the right thing. Write to the Senate that you want your paper remarked.
Challenge it if you can challenge it.
Let them give you a pass. It doesn't matter.
You know what you know.
There are many first class and 2-1s all over the place who don't know, who cannot even write a letter of application.
A time is coming in this country,
and I think it has come,
when first class doesn't mean anything to anybody.
They want to hear you speak.
They want to know what you know.
People go for aptitude tests who are first class, and they fail woefully.
People who graduate with ordinary pass or first class, they are the ones doing better
because they studied. They didn't go to sort.
You don't have to do that.
And if you sort now,
say you sort when you are looking for a job.
Because a graduation in Nigeria does not guarantee a job.
I hope you know that.
So when you go for interview panel, are you, if you're a girl, you will sleep with all the members of the interview panel so they can employ you.
And then when you cannot do the job,
they will sack you.
This book of the law, let it not depart from.
Are you involved in ministry, one ministry or the other?
That is what God is giving you.
Nothing else.
He has given you his spirit.
Now he's saying, take the word.
The spirit without the word can't do anything.
The word without the spirit is hopeless.
The word and the spirit, dynamite.
That's what you need.
Let's bow our heads to pray.
I want you to talk to God to help you.
Because I know the challenge is when it comes to studying the word of God.
I know the challenge is when it comes to reading the Bible.
In fact, do you know that if you are not born again, the spirit of God is not there?
That is why salvation is the beginning.
Because when you are born again, you are born of the spirit of God. It is the spirit birth that makes you a child of God.
And from that time on, as you begin to read and study the word of God and speak the word of God, things begin to change in your life.
You begin to become, you begin to focus on the will of God for your life.
But when that is not the case,
we run into trouble.
Once you talk to God today,
say, Father, help me.
Help me
in your word.
Help me
with your word.
The word of God is powerful.
The word of God has no substitute.
You need the word of God.
And that is why you would have noticed how the devil has been fighting you when it comes to reading or studying the word of God.
You may be tired to study the word of God.
You may want to sleep, but turn on the TV and then you see one interesting program. You discover that you can't sleep again. You are watching that program.
But when it comes to picking the Bible,
you have a challenge.
You need to pray through
and break through in the place of prayer
concerning the word of God,
concerning the study of the word of God.
It is your life.
This word is your life.
This word is your prosperity.
This word is your wisdom.
This word is what will make you achieve God's purpose for your life.
You need to talk to God about it.
That whatever it's going to take for you to study the word of God on a daily basis, to meditate therein day and night, to live out the word of God on a regular basis,
ask the Lord to help you.
Fruitfulness in the spirit is about the word of God and the spirit of God acting on that word.
Talk to the Lord this morning. Talk to the Lord this morning.
That it should help you never to forsake the word of God, but to abide in the word of God, to continue in the word of God, to study the word of God, to correctly divide the word of God, to stand approved of God in your study, your diligent study of the word of God, because it is what will bring you success in life.
And I mean success God's way, not success men's way.
It is what will give you discretion, prudence, understanding, the way to act when there are people. You will know how to deal when there is a fool around you. You know when to deal, when you see a man who is consumed by himself. The word of God, when you study it, will help you to avoid the pitfalls that are in your offices.
Many of you don't know the pitfalls in your offices.
Pitfalls. There are people who come and say they are your colleagues, they are your friends, they go out with you, they give you all kinds of things, but you don't know what they are doing.
The word of God will lead you, it will direct you,
it will guide you.
When you wake up, it will speak to you and say, you see that meeting you went for yesterday, discontinue that friendship.
It will lead you,
it will guide you. it will help you.
Nobody can tell you that
except by the word of God.
Brethren, talk to God today.
You need the grace of God.
You need the help of God.
You need the word of God.
Talk to the Lord.
It is not about skill.
If it is skill, everybody has skill.
One skill or the other, everybody has.
But it is the word of God that will distinguish you.
It is the word of God that you need.
Talk to the Lord.
Talk to the Lord, brethren.
Ask the Lord to help you.
Ask the Lord to help you.
Ask the Lord to help you.
To deliver you.
To save you.
Ask the Lord to help.
He said, continue in this word.
Because it is able to save both you and those who are hearing you.
Can you imagine a man who is preaching and teaching without the word of God? He is bringing death to not just himself, but those who are hearing him.
Talk to the Lord this morning, brethren. Talk to the Lord this morning.
It is thy word that sets me free. It is thy word that sets me free. It is thy word. It is thy word. It is thy word that sets me free. It is thy word, the truth in your word. It is your word that sets me free.
Talk to the Lord.
Oh, Father, help us.
Oh, Lord, keep us
to study your, teach us, Lord, to study your word. Train us, Lord, to study your word.
Ask the Lord to help you to be uncomfortable when you have departed from the word.
To be uncomfortable when you have not studied the word of God in a day.
Ask the Lord to help you.
Every mechanism that you need to be in the word, you better ask God to help you now. That he should make it uncomfortable, that you will be uncomfortable if you have not studied the word of God in a day. If you have not meditated on the word of God in a day, you should be uncomfortable until you do it.
Talk to God. Pray.
You are praying for yourself today.
Praying for yourself today.
And as you are praying for yourself today, you are making certain of generations to come that by reason of your being established in this present truth, which is the word of God, you will save generations yet unborn by your lifestyle, by the words that come out of your mouth. This book of the law shall not depart from out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. It applies to every sphere of your life. It applies to every area of your life. Your domestic life, your spiritual life, your secular life, whatever life you have, it applies to every sphere. Whether you are low level, medium level, high level, whatever it is. Whether you're a politician, a civil servant, a businessman, involved in ministry, or whatever it is the word. It is the word. It is not the exclusive preserve of pastors. It's for every single God, every single person who says, I am a Christian. It's the word. It's the word. When Moses was leaving to go to Egypt, God said to Moses, make sure you take your rod, the rod that I've given to you, take it with you, and wrought signs and wonders before Pharaoh. God's word to you today is, make sure you don't leave your home without the word. Make sure in this life you are not without this word. Hold on to this word. Follow this word. Every precept that I have put in the word, follow it. Don't let the world tell you something outside of this word. Don't let any strange preacher preach a word outside of this word to you. Don't let one false prophet give you a prophecy that is not in accordance with this word. How do you want to know if a prophecy is false if you are not studying the word? How do you want to know if somebody is preaching rubbish to you if you are not studying the word? You need to have the word of God. Iron sharpeneth iron, deep calleth unto deep. You need to study the word. That which is flesh is flesh. That which is spirit is spirit. The word in the spirit, you need it. Talk to God this morning. Talk to the Lord to help you. That you will cease to be an empty believer. That you will become a believer of substance. Substance in the word of God. Ask the Lord to help you to shift away from a church attendee to a child of God, a believer in Christ, a true believer in Christ, who believes the word of God. Oh, Father, help us. Father, help us. Holy Spirit, help us. Eternal Rock of Ages, help us. We need your help. We need your help. The church has even lost touch completely with the word. But Lord, help us. Help us, Lord, to come to the place where your word takes its place of eminence. Takes its place of eminence.
Father, thank you. Blessed be your name, Almighty God. In Jesus' name, we have prayed.
Eternal Rock of Ages, we cannot thank you enough for these 12 lessons that you have taught us concerning Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. We want to thank you particularly of its application for our lives. And Lord, we just ask that Father, let your word not depart from out of our hands, not depart from out of our hearts, and not depart from out of our mouth. Lord, help us. Make it uncomfortable for us if we do not study your word in a day. If we not meditate on your word in a day. Let us become uncomfortable. Let us not be able to do anything until we study your word. Until we hear from you, Almighty and Everlasting God. Father, help us. Father, help us. The potency of your word, combined with your spirit in our lives, let it be made manifest. Let it be evident to all as we speak forth your word. Thank you, Everlasting Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. The Lord God will say, Amen. Amen.